We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just want to let you guys know that this episode is presented by Prize Picks. Be sure to visit prizepicks.com or use their app. Use the promo code when you sign up, BTJ, for a $100 deposit. Match. All right, we are back. What is going on, Colts Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Bring the Juice. Guys, it is officially draft week. We have almost made it. We are almost to the NFL draft. And with that, we of course need to bring on a friend of the show, Kent Lee Platy, back onto the show for another year, obviously creator of the RAS score. Kent, thank you so much for coming on, man. How are you feeling now that we finally made it?
Fantastic. I'm always glad to put it behind me, as much fun as this stuff is. It's just a lot of work. So everybody's excited for it and glad it's about to be happening.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, obviously the Indianapolis Colts last year, we know what they did in the NFL draft when it came to the RAS score. I think they're one of the most athletic teams at drafting that we see typically on a year in and year out basis. And so what I thought would be fun kind of pre-draft here, Ken, is kind of looking at the certain areas where the Colts are slated to pick in the rounds and kind of talk about who are some players athletically wise that would make a ton of sense for the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, Ken, I know you've been scouting and giving these scores to a ton of players, so you have a ton of insight, so we are definitely appreciative of that. So I think I will do it. I'll start with the first one, Derek, and if we just want to go down the line, talk about these picks and go from there. So let's start here, dive into the first round for the Indianapolis Colts. Pick number 15. Obviously, there's been some debate whether Indy will trade up, stay put, or trade down. I did a poll today. Virtually everybody was different. It was completely split. So we don't really know what the Colts are going to do here at pick 15. But Kent, say around that area, who are some players that you think would fit Indy pretty good when it came to that athleticism and stuff?
Well, the team has, you know, several needs. They've still got a lot of areas that they have to improve. If they're trying to improve their wide receiver room, they're going to have Brian Thomas Jr. sitting there, very high RAS guy. Adonai Mitchell had a 9.99. You know, he's got to be very high on their board. They love those really, really high scores. I don't think that's high enough for Xavier Worthy, especially if those two guys are still on the board. He's kind of in that next group of guys. Same thing kind of with Keon Coleman, who I'm a little bit torn about whether or not Indy would like him as much, because despite having a good overall athletic profile, he didn't run a very good 40. Despite his size and it being a good time for his size and all that, it's still not, you know, the Indy MO that they've kind of built up over the last couple of years when it comes to athleticism. On the defensive side of the ball, there's a lot of different ways they could go, and this corner class could fall in a number of different ways. So it could be any of the top guys that managed to fall just because of how the order might be. Tyrion Arnold from Alabama should be gone by the time the Colts are picking, but who knows? Maybe somebody likes Quinyon Mitchell more and a lot of offensive guys go earlier. Maybe somebody falls in love with Nate Wiggins and doesn't really care too much about his size. So those are another two guys that are high scoring guys who could fall there. They might even go against their general trend when it comes to RAS and draft somebody like Kool-Aid McKinstry, who didn't have an elite RAS, but he also measured injured. He tested while he was injured. He still got an injury that he's dealing with. He has surgery coming up. So they might look at the score that he had and be like, you know what? Healthy, that's probably a very high score because he tested really well despite being injured, even if it didn't get to that elite range. Indy might be like, you know what? We're fine with that because we know that he's hurt and he would have tested even better if he had been hurt. So that's another possibility there. You know, it, depending on the other positions, there's a lot of really good players in this class on the offensive line, entire offensive line, whether you're outside or in. So if the Colts decided to pack in another big guy, plenty of options there. You know, I could name pretty much everybody that's a tackle or a guard or a center, and they'd probably be on the Colts board. A lot of guys on this offensive line tested really well in this class. There aren't any high-ranking guys in this class, except maybe Zach Frazier, who didn't come into the elite range. He was close, but not quite. But this is a very athletic offensive line class. So if they decided to go there, they've got pretty much the pick of who they want there if they're available.
So you kind of mentioned a player like Keon Coleman, who, you know, had a relatively good RAS score, but, you know, there's some things about it that maybe a particular team like the Colts probably maybe won't look to draft because of those particular reasons. Is there anyone else like really high in the draft, like first round, late first round, early second, that a ton of people are like extremely high on, maybe some of the Colts fans are extremely high on, that, you know, had a good RAS score, but probably has a couple other issues, maybe even within that RAS score, that the Colts probably wouldn't want to go with them despite that kind of score?
Yeah, and I already mentioned a couple of them. Xavier Worthy and Nate Wiggins both had very good athletic scores, both tested really well. I mean, Xavier Worthy set the record for the 40-yard dash. But both are very slender. They're very thin, skinny guys. And some teams just don't, they don't look at those guys as long-term players in the NFL because guys that are that small and that slender generally struggle to stay healthy in the NFL. They start getting hit. Their bodies aren't really built to take that kind of punishment. And, you know, teams like the Colts who have that such high athletic standards might kind of veer away from players like that. If they're looking at a guy like, some of the receivers that I mentioned, Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell, if they're looking at those guys and they think, you know what, we really need somebody who can do more than just run deep. We want to do somebody that can run anywhere all over the field. We need somebody with that quickness. They didn't test in their agility drills. And if the Colts are a team that's looking at those guys as having that more varied route-dependent type of role, they might be a little bit more hesitant despite the overall athletic profile, because they might look at the agility and be like, I'm not quite sure it's there. We don't have access to all of the data. NFL teams will test guys at areas that they think they might be deficient in all the time at private workouts. So if we have a guy that doesn't test in the agility drills, it doesn't mean that they're bad at agility. It doesn't mean that they would have tested poorly. But if a team thinks that, they'll have them test. And if that's a concern for them and the player doesn't test as well as they like, that could mark them off. And a team like the Colts, which has such high standards for athleticism, that could be something that veers them away from those guys.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's move on then, Kent, to round number two for Indy. So pick 46 right now for the Colts. So obviously we believe, I don't know where you sit on the Colts needs, but we believe wide receiver, corner are probably the top two needs for Indy. So who would be some players there at 46 that you think would make some sense for the Colts, based off of some of those skills and, you know, some of those scores that you think that's kind of what the Colts are looking for in this type of player?
It's kind of tough because of how this wide receiver class is built, because you could have guys, even somebody like Keon Coleman and Xavier Worthy, that could probably fall there. You've also got Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, Troy Franklin out of Oregon, Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, that should be available in terms of where we kind of expect them to go. But they might have went, they might be long gone by that point. It only takes one team to fall in love with a guy. And some of these guys have one or two skills that are elite enough that a team might jump on him. But I would expect one of those guys between McConkey, Franklin, Leggett, and even Jalen Polk out of Washington. I expect at least one of those guys to be available. And all of them have a good to great overall athletic profile. You're still looking at guys that are in that eight and above athletic tier, generally over nine. A lot of really good athletic profiles in that area. Cornerback, it's not quite as strong in this area for the Colts, because this is where you're going to start getting guys like Ennis Rakestraw, Chris Abrams-Drain, Kamari Lassiter, and TJ Tampa. All four of those players are cornerbacks that were generally well regarded, but didn't test quite as well as people had expected them to. They either didn't run a good 40, like Kamari Lassiter and Chris Abrams-Drain, or they didn't have the other traits, the explosiveness and the agility. And once you get guys that start to miss traits, you have to start to really consider how good is their tape and what do I want that player to do. For a team like the Colts, which has such their athletic tendencies tend to be so high, I don't know that they're going to go a cornerback with that pick, because the kind of guys I expect to be there are probably not going to fit in those athletic thresholds that the Colts have set for themselves.
I was going to follow up on that, Kant. So say outside of corner wide receiver, are there other positions there at 46 that maybe aren't, quote unquote, the needs that we expect for the Colts that you're like, I wouldn't be surprised, because there might be a few players in this position that would fit what the Colts are looking for?
Yeah, and this is where the edge class starts to really shine. And this is right about where the safety class might start to shine. The edge class has a lot of good guys in that tier two. Adisa Isaac, Chris Braswell, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus. Marshawn Nealand might be gone by 46, but if he's there, that would be a huge get for the Colts, because he's got an elite score outside and in, and he can kind of play both and move around. So that's a guy I think they might have their sights on in that type of a pick. You kind of put yourself in a really good spot with that pick, almost more so than the first pick when it comes to those type of positions. Safety, the top two safeties coming into this draft class, Tyler Newbin and Cam Kitchens, both tested very poorly. I don't expect the Colts to be particularly interested in either one of those guys. But that is the type of area where you're going to start to see the other safeties kind of get picked up. Kalen Bullock, Bo Braid, Cooper DeJean. If people think that he's a safety and he ends up falling out of the first round somehow, there's a possibility he's still available when the Colts are on the clock, and I'm sure they would just run that pick right up. But you're in a good spot if you start to look outside of the immediate needs for the teams and just go to that general roster build.
Yeah, so I look here at round three with pick number 82. I think it's the first round where, for me specifically, and I see a lot of other people do it with their mock drafts, that this really could be open season for anything for the Indianapolis Colts. I've seen people mock wide receivers here. I've mocked a few running backs to this spot. I've seen even some late corners get some love here in this spot, and the safety market really gets huge here in the third round as well. I mean, that's a lot of positions. I mean, it could really be open season for Indy, but like, who are some really good RAS scores you expect there in that mid third round? Because I see a lot of corners that maybe aren't getting a lot of love, but have a lot of great intangibles there. I see a lot of safeties creeping up the board. And like I said, with the running backs, there are a few running backs that could get selected here in that third round that could be interesting.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and this is, like you said, this is where that safety class is really going to be wide open. It kind of started with that earlier pick. But with those top two guys and their lower scores, you know, that I'm not really sure how the safety class is going to go. But this is where it really does start to open up. Because even if the Colts did take one of those guys with lower scores, this is where the value starts to really not matter as much. Like, you're not taking a guy in the third round expecting that they're going to be an immediate superstar. You might think maybe we need to bring him along a little slower, put him in a starting role, but maybe kind of hide him with the scheme a little bit or rotate him in and out. So if the Colts did decide to open up some of their athletic threshold, maybe they do start to look at one of those guys. Maybe they like their tape enough that they're willing to look past it. It's not something that they've traditionally done until day three, but there's always that possibility they change it with the roster getting stronger. Looking for a nickel corner, Mike Sanristil from Michigan is going to be a big name there, assuming he's still available. Renardo Green out of Florida State is another guy that could be picked up right about there. Who's the other one? Dadrion Taylor-Demerson out of Texas Tech, the safety, is another player that should be available right there that tested pretty good. It's, again, that edge class, and the defensive tackle class here is where you're going to start to see guys pick up too, because if Mason Smith is still on the board or Dwayne Carter, that's kind of the area those guys might end up going in. If Tavondre Sweat is still in free fall from all the offseason crap that he did, that's another potential option there. I know he didn't have the best RAS overall, but I did have a thread, I'm sure you guys saw it at some point, talking about how it's different with nose tackles and guys that are that large. They don't generally test that well in the time drills, and that's half the drills, right? This is an area where they might look at a guy like Tavondre Sweat or McKinley Jackson out of Texas A&M and think to themselves, we need a nose tackle. This guy is a nose tackle. In Sweat's case, he is athletic for a guy that big, because there just aren't a lot of guys that big to begin with. McKinley Jackson is a little bit less. I don't really think that that's a guy the Colts might look at, even with understanding that he's a nose tackle, because he tested pretty poorly, even kind of understanding that he's a nose tackle. But that is the range that you might look at a guy like that if they decide to open things up a little bit.
As we said, guys, today's episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Now, what is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Instead of battling against thousands of other players across platforms, you're basically picking 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you're choosing more or less on those stat projections to be able to watch those winnings roll in. It's very easy. Do you guys want to play along at some of Prize Picks' favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and UFC fighter Sugar Sean O'Malley? Well, if you guys sign up today, you can find the community plays under the promos tab of the app to view the entries of some of the biggest names on the platform and be a part of that as well. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 just like that with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Like a lot of other things, guys, they also offer injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So if someone exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. So it's great it bounced back for that one. What I love about the app as well, guys, is it's not just sports like NBA, NHL, football and tennis and baseball and all these other things, but there's also a lot of others that go into it as well. If you like to place entries on video game situations like Call of Duty, CS2, Apex, if that's something that appeals to you, there's a wide variety of sports and video games and everything else that you can place entries on. And I love how expansive it is. Even just looking at the NBA, there's entries you can make with turnovers, with points. You can do combo deals, dunks, field goals attempted, all these different things. So there's just so many different ways to make money off of these entries. Be sure to download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code BTJ for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, it's sponsored by Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Gotcha. Okay, let's move on now to round number 4. I mean, obviously, the later the rounds, it gets a little bit more complicated with some of these needs for Indy. But Who are some guys there with the Colts when they sit there at pick 117 that you're like, they should be available if the Colts were to look at them? Some guys that you think scheme-wise would fit what the Colts do on offense and defensive side of things.
So this is where we start to get into the my guys section, right? Once you start day three, you start to look at the guys that you like that maybe aren't rated as highly on a board, or even from a testing standpoint that you're like, you know what, I'm okay with it. I know the Colts have that tendency, and we talk about it quite a lot, and I've mentioned a couple times where they might decide to go against it. This is kind of where if they do go against their normal tendencies, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. It's day three. Who really cares? You know, still get your guys that you want that are going to fit your scheme. But the Colts tend to get athletic guys anyway. So a guy like Jamari Thrash or Brendan Rice, both guys that I like and kind of fall into that range, they didn't really test well enough that they're going to be very high on the Colts boards, I don't think. And even somebody like Malik Washington, who I really like, tested really well, but he's a little bit on the smaller side. He might not have even been good enough testing. He had an 8.63 RAS. That might not even be good enough for the Colts if they are going to be that diehard with their type of athletic look, athletic testing. Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, another wide receiver, rated in the low nines. That might be a little bit more their style if he's still available, because he has all of the traits that they're looking for, and kind of picks that up a little bit more. For running backs, this is where you're going to start to see some of those guys that are rated all over the place, like Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue, Isaac Garendo from Louisville, and then Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. I've seen these guys everywhere, right? Like rated as high as the third round, as low as the seventh round. I've seen them all over the place, depending on who you ask. But this is guys that have that athletic talent that the Colts tend to like. And if they're picking up guys that fit their athletic thresholds and fit a position that they need, those are the type of guys they might look at, because they might have them ranked a little bit higher than some other people. And this is a weird class when it comes to ranking that particular position. This is also where tight end starts to get a little open. Tip Riemann is a blocking tight end out of Illinois, but he tested extremely well. Not just well for a blocking tight end, which is, frankly, any testing is usually good for blocking tight end. But he tested really well in the very high nines. 9.92 was his overall RAS. That's the kind of guy that the Colts tend to look at, right? Guys that are at the very top tier of their athletic spectrum. Those are the kind of guys that they might be looking at. Jared Wiley out of TSU is another guy there. Cade Stover, he was only in the eights, but he's a guy I think that they'll probably look at right there, because his individual tests are kind of closer to what they like. And then, of course, Theo Johnson out of Penn State, who had one of the highest RAS in the class and the highest for tight end, I think, in the class. Is another guy on offense that they might look at there. It's a little bit weirder on defense, because I think this is where that safety class starts to thin out. And the cornerback class, you're kind of getting into they could go anywhere space, just like we were talking about the running backs. A lot of guys that could kind of go anywhere. But this is where the linebacker class, I think, really starts to shine. This isn't viewed as a very strong linebacker class. It's not very top heavy, but it is fairly deep. And there's quite a few guys that I feel the Colts could take a look at a little bit later. Jeremiah Trotter is a big name out of Clemson. He might go in day two still, but there's some concern about his testing. And if the Colts are not one of those teams that are concerned about his testing, they might be the team that stops his fall in the fourth round. Tyrese Knight out of UTEP is another guy that tested pretty well, not quite great, but pretty well. But he's in that range, and I think the Colts are going to be looking at a guy like him maybe. This is also the range where teams are going to start looking at Aaron Casey out of Indiana. I don't think the Colts are going to be very high on him because he didn't test all that well. I did have a thread about Aaron Casey where I talked about some of the guys that I liked who didn't test well, and he was one of them. I think he's going to have a very long career in the NFL. But I think that's a little bit too rich for the Colts at that point. Maybe they take that risk in a later round, but I think he's probably going to be gone before the Colts even consider him.
Yeah, so like in that fifth round sort of aspect here, I even think they could potentially go in that fourth round starting to look for some interior offensive line depth, because there's really not a whole lot of it that Indy has currently. And we've seen even from their tackle depth over the last several years. I mean, a lot of the most recent offensive line draft picks for Indy has been huge RAS scores. Bernard Ryman at left tackle, former tight end, an athletic guy. He had a 9-something when he was there, even if he was slightly undersized. A good chunk of these guys have been slightly undersized in some way. But they've all tested very well with those RAS scores. How much do you think that's going to continue to be something that in that fifth round or even like in the mid rounds altogether, when Indy's looking at offensive line depth, that even if it's interior guys, do you think those RAS scores are going to continue to remain high for their offensive line prospects?
Yeah, and that's what I'm very confident. I would be absolutely shocked if the Colts change their philosophy when it comes to the offensive line. As much as I've talked about different areas that they might kind of take a risk, that is not the type of guys they look for. They look for those top flight athletes on their interior and the outside of their offensive line. They love athletes on the offensive line, and they have for many years. I don't think that starts to even slow down. This is a really good class to meet a guy like that. I'm pretty sure I mentioned before that the offensive line class, especially on the interior, is very deep and very athletic. There's still guys like Mason McCormick and Brandon Coleman who are in the 9.9s. Like Brandon Coleman was 9.97. Mason McCormick was 9.96. Those guys are probably going to be available around that pick. That's right around where I think that they're going to go. That's a really good spot for Indy to pick up a guy that fits their athletic testing metrics. Tanner Bordellini might be gone by then. Center out of Wisconsin, another high nines guy. Bo Limmer out of Arkansas in the high nines. These are guys that are probably going to be on their board, probably ranked a little bit higher because of how they tested. And this is kind of the range where you start looking at guys like that. They've got a lot of options available to them, and this class is fairly strong in that area. So if they're looking to restock on the offensive line, absolutely take some shots there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, for sure. And then, obviously, like rounds 6 and 7, I do feel like, Kent, just about every year the Indianapolis Colts take a very highly athletic DB. Like we've seen them do that the last couple of years. Last year it was Jalen Jones. The year prior it was Rodney Thomas. Obviously they've done it with like a guy like Isaiah Rodgers a couple of years ago. So like, are there any of these late round DBs that you think would make sense for Indy, say round 6, round 7, somewhere around that area?
Not just make sense, but I've almost penciled in as a late round pick to them, Trey Taylor out of Air Force. Service Academy guys are a little bit tougher to get drafted, but you also don't get like top flight athletes at Service Academies very often. And this is a guy who had a 9.33 RAS. I've talked about him before on my page about how, you know, you don't usually get guys like that. And this is a guy like that. He's got all the work ethic stuff that you want. Really big, big name right there. That's about where you're going to expect somebody like him to go. And I think the Colts are going to be one of the teams that are all over a player like him. Exactly for the reason that you mentioned. They seem to always want to pick up a guy like that in the later rounds and try to figure out what to do with him, right? They either have a plan or they're just going to figure it out. The good thing about taking those, you know, top flight athletes is you don't have to know what you're doing with them right away. You can kind of figure it out as you want. DeKamarion Richardson out of Mississippi State is also probably going to go in that later part of those rounds. I know some people really like him, have him as high as the early day three, maybe even late day two. I tend to think he's probably going to go later day three. He's mostly just those athletic traits right now, but that's the type of guy that the Colts tend to look at, guys that they can mold, guys that they can fix to do whatever it is that they're looking at doing on defense. Outside of that, a lot of those defensive backs in that later round are where you start getting the guys in the sevens. This draft is just kind of lined up right along Raz lines for some positions, and cornerback is one of them. It's got that big top, and then it gets a little bit lulled. And then as we start getting into day three, it's elite athletes, and then slowly starts to go down in scores as you get through day three.
Awesome. I guess one more question for you, Kent. We really appreciate you coming on and giving your insight and all these different prospects. If there was one position that maybe people aren't necessarily thinking for the Colts, it's a position they're going to take, but you would look at it and you would say, I am not shocked in the slightest that the Colts took this player maybe as early as they did because of less about the position, more about the player. What position would that be and why?
So it's going to be one of their early picks. I think if they did take a surprise player, it would be with one of their early picks. And one of the players that I think would be really interesting to see go to the Colts would be Graham Barton. He can play anywhere on the offensive line. He's one of the best athletes in this class. But he's a guy that you can pretty much do anything with. He's played tackle. He's played guard. He's played center. And as much as I don't think it's a primary need for the Colts to take an offensive line, you're more looking at depth than you are looking at starters. It might be a little too tempting to take a guy who can plug and play anywhere they want on that offensive line, who will fit every single one of their athletic testing metrics. It might just be too tempting there.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, appreciate you, Kent. Always a pleasure. We'll have to have you on after the draft to discuss some of these picks, because I have a feeling we're going to be talking about some more very high RAS scores, a very high RAS draft for the Indianapolis Colts. So, no, man, I know you put in a ton of work, man. So enjoy it and take it easy, because I know it is a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work as well. But, Kent, appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
All right, well, that'll do it for this one, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, guys, go Colts.